Matthew chapter 5 and reading from verse 1. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, the disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word afresh. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for thy word. To our hearts, we rejoice in its power to our souls. We thank thee for these great pictures, or the one picture of the child of God. And we'd ask thee that thou must enable us, those who are saved, to conform. We pray for those who are not saved, that they might be brought to have righteousness imputed to them. So our God, we look to thee for thy mighty blessing, for St. Jesus the precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. I wonder when it was that you have been the hungriest that you've ever been. Perhaps it was maybe a long day in the fields, maybe bringing the crops or gathering stones or whatever it may be. Maybe you came into the lovely smell of bacon and eggs frying on the pan. Maybe it was a time when you're in a crash diet and your stomach was longing for something more than celery and cream cheese. And maybe there was those days when you were desperately hungry. I wonder if you've ever been hungry in the sense of not only missing a meal, but maybe missing meals over 8 or 10 days successively. That's the kind of hunger that was experienced that is experienced by a quarter of the world's population right now. Really, we have no idea of what it is to be really hungry. Or when were you really thirsty? You know, maybe you've gone to some of the hot countries for a trip or a holiday, and maybe you've gone out without water for a day, and you've really begun to feel that thirst upon you. And there's that sapping feeling, that sense of the fact that you become absolutely weary with thirst. Well, the hunger and thirst was something that was very common to the people in the New Testament days. Those were days when daily wages was only about a penny. The average working man only ate meat about once a week. And many people lived on the borderline between starvation and hunger. And when the Lord Jesus said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, he used words with far more meaning than would be common for us to be able to understand today. And oh, dear friend, we need this hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And oh, that we might have that today. There is, as we say, a build-up in these Beatitudes. First of all, we are poor in spirit. We realize what we are in the sight of a holy and righteous God. Then is added in the emotional element. We mourn over the fact that we are poor in spirit. And then we thought about how we not only see our own unworthiness in the sight of God, but then we're willing to acknowledge that in the sight of others. We become meek. It's not just that we acknowledge it in ourselves, But we're willing for others to say that we are poor, vile wretches in the sight of a holy God. And then we come to what we're talking about today. When we see ourselves, and when we acknowledge what we are, and when we come to that place where we are willing that that is said in public, then we begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There is that natural desire within our hearts that arises for things to change, for things to be different. And it is the person who is poor in spirit and mourns and is meek is the person that will have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now that's not natural. This hunger and thirst is not a natural thing. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The natural man is a person who longs and lusts after material things and against the things that will gratify them materially or physically. But the person who is saved and walking with God is a person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And I hope today that we have been awakened to our need. Martin Lloyd-Jones, writing about this text, he says, and I quote, "The outstanding declaration of the Christian gospel to all who are unhappy about themselves and their spiritual state, who long after an order and quality of life that they have not hitherto enjoyed." Now, I wonder today if there is that hunger. Is there that desire for things to be different? Do you want more of the Lord in your life? Do you want God to come and bless you? That's what we're talking about today. I'm glad that God is willing to come and bless you. He is willing to fill that hole that is in the midst of your heart. Oh, let's hunger and thirst after righteousness today. And I want you to see what the Bible has to say in this beatitude about those that hunger and thirst after these things. Notice, first of all, the righteousness we seek. Notice the desire that we are to have here. Here is a promise to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness that they will be filled. And those who are filled with this righteousness or this joy or this blessing are people who are seeking for what? Now, they're not seeking for joy and happiness. Now, people come and they recognize their need, for example. They know that there's a hole in their hearts. There's something that they need. And a lot of people, when they come to that point, they run after happiness or joy. That's the thing that they are seeking. Now, that is where the mistake is made. Now, the verse here does promise joy. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." And we said the word "blessed" in the shorthand means happy. It means really the favor of God. It means the smile of heaven upon you. But it means that we're happy. And many people, well, they come to the point where they feel their need. They know that there's a lack, there's a dissatisfaction within the heart. And the thing that they look for is joy. This is where the charismatic movement makes a mistake. Because it will promise you, oh, let's all have joy. Let's all jump up and down. And the health and wealth preachers, they promise you that you will have all sorts of material blessings, and you'll have wealth, and you'll have all the things that the world looks for. And people say, well, that'll meet my need. But I want you to see what the text says. It doesn't say, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after joy, or those that hunger and thirst after material things, or those that hunger and thirst after happiness that the world seeks. No, it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It is righteousness, the thing that we should be seeking. Now, it doesn't even say, blessed are they that seek after the power of the Holy Spirit. Many places emphasize that, and there's a thing that needs to be emphasized. We do need the power of the Holy Spirit. But as individuals, that's not the primary thing that we're seeking. What we are hungering and thirsting for is righteousness. And I wonder today, is there that focus in our heart? Are we looking for righteousness, holiness? That's a dirty word today. That's a word that has gone out of fashion, even in the church. That desire for holiness and purity before God. And I wonder today, have we that desire for God to meet with us? Not only do we see the desire we're to have, but look at the definition of what we seek. We said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now that begs the question, what do we mean by righteousness? And that's not a question that's going to be easy to answer, because the word righteousness is used in different ways in the scriptures. But I think in many ways it includes all of the ways that it is used. For example, first of all, the Bible speaks about what we're going to call an imputed righteousness. Now that's the righteousness that is given to those who seek the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, Paul spoke of the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the righteousness that every convicted sinner feels his need of. Every sinner who is convicted by the Holy Spirit of God knows that he has come short of the glory of God. He knows his own heart. He sees his sin. And he knows that his own righteousness will gain him nothing. His own righteousness is just as filthy rags in the sight of God. And the Bible says that when a person is under conviction, that the Holy Spirit is one who will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So when God begins to deal with the sinner begins to feel his need of righteousness. He feels that he needs a righteousness which is not his own. And that is what we are promised in the gospel. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And the word justified there is a word that is related to righteousness. We have the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Where is that righteousness found? It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes his perfect righteousness. He lived a life and conformed to the law. And he imputes or gives his righteousness to those who are saved and those that come to him. And I stand upon his merits. I know no safer stand, not e'en where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. So first of all, we need the imputed righteousness. You need to be saved if you're not saved. You need to have the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, given to you, imputed to you, and received by faith alone. That righteousness. Now, I wonder if there's a hunger and thirst for that in your heart. As the Holy Spirit began to convict you, and you realize that there is nothing of merit in and of yourself, but you need some righteousness. If you're going to stand before God, the Holy God of heaven, you need his righteousness. But then there's another type of righteousness that is spoken of in the Bible, and that is imparted righteousness. You see, when a person gets saved, that doesn't make them perfect. They need not only the imputed righteousness of Christ, which makes them holy in the sight of God, but we need the imparted righteousness of holiness. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21, It speaks of everyone that doeth righteousness. So there's a righteousness that you do. There is something that you work at. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 11. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So there is that holiness as well, which is righteousness. Robert Murray McShane, the very young Scottish minister, he said that he wanted to be as holy as it is possible for a saved sinner to be. And every child of God who has a genuine work of God done in their heart will recognize this desire to live more righteously, to live more purely. This old fashioned concept of holiness that we've been speaking about. A person is justified, made righteous in the sight of God, but they've got to live a holy life, and we need the imparted righteousness. Now I wonder, child of God, have you a desire that in your heart to be more holy? To walk closer with God? You see, that's an indication of your salvation. Is there that desire in your heart? So there is imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. But then there is something else we're going to call impacting righteousness. A Christian wants righteousness to have an impact in society. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 13, there's a wonderful statement where God says, I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. And there he's speaking about a future reformation when righteousness will be seen in society. Now, in another desire that we have, we want righteousness to be seen in society. We want righteousness to make an impact on those around us when the government is bringing in evil laws and unrighteous laws. We want righteousness to make an impact out there. Now, we hunger and thirst for all of those righteousnesses. We hunger and thirst for imputed righteousness. We want to be saved. We hunger and thirst for imparted righteousness. We want to be more holy. And we want hunger and thirst for impacting righteousness. We want righteousness to make an impact on those around about us. Now, have you a hunger and thirst for that righteousness to be seen in society, to be seen in your life and in mine? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So we notice the righteousness that we seek. But then look at the restlessness that we display. You see, the words hunger and thirst speak of the fact that this is something that is really deep down. This is something that comes from the depth. There's a restlessness within us. We can't stay still, or we can't be content if we don't have this righteousness. And the grammatical construction, the Greek actually, without going into the technical, means that we're hungering and thirsting not just for some righteousness, but it means that we're hungering and thirsting for all righteousness, as much as we can get, and all of it if we can. So here we're talking about a passionate desire. Something that rises within the heart that we cannot in any way ignore. It is something like what the psalmist said in Psalm 42. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Have we a deep inner longing? A longing like that? If you do, it's a sign of life. One of the first things that you look for somebody, in somebody that's recovering from illness, is a hunger. They get an appetite. When you see somebody get their appetite back, you know that they're well on the way to recovery. Now, we've got to have an appetite. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Well, we need to have a desire. Thomas Guthrie, the old-time Scottish preacher, said these very challenging words. He said, I quote, "If you find yourself loving any pleasure better than your prayers, any book better than the Bible, any house better than the house of God, any table better than the Lord's table, any person better than Christ, any indulgence better than the hope of heaven, take alarm." What a challenge that is to us. Are we passionately hungering and thirsting for the blessing of God? And we see the depth of our restlessness. But also want you to see the duration of it. It's not a mere passing fancy. It is something that's not going to last for a short time and vanish away. It speaks of hungering, continuing to hunger here. I remember a number of years ago hearing about what was happening. There was a famine in Ethiopia. And seeing the people trekking perhaps hundreds of miles across the desert to find food or to find something to drink. And you can imagine they were weak, but this hunger, this thirst was an all-consuming thing. It made them get up and walk hundreds of miles in their weakness in order to get it. And they weren't going to be put off by anything. And that's what we need to be like. We see the duration of it, but also the determination of it. A hungry person is not going to miss any opportunity of getting food. You see the images of poor people from third world countries rooting around in rubbish heaps in order to find some kind of a scrap to satisfy their hunger. And a man who hungers and thirsts, or a woman who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, is not going to be put off by the difficulties. It's interesting, actually, that righteousness is one of the titles of the Lord. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Are you seeking for Him? Are you seeking for Him today? He is the Lord our righteousness. And you know, we think of blind Bartimaeus. Remember how the Lord Jesus was passing through the town of Jericho. And you know, the people said, you know, when he cried out, blind Bartimaeus was crying out. It says many charged him that he should hold his peace. But we're told that he immediately cried out a great deal the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Didn't matter what other people said. Here was his opportunity. And he was not going to let his opportunity pass by. No, that we might hunger and thirst today. That we might hunger after the place of prayer. Hunger after the scriptures. We have a day in which many of God's people are not even reading the scriptures. Don't even bother with the place of prayer. There's a lack of interest. God says that we're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Is that your condition today? Is that your desire, that God might meet you at the point of your need? Oh, here is the righteousness we seek and the restlessness that we display. Don't ever sit down or give up until that hunger and thirst is satisfied by God. But then look at the relief we experience. We notice the righteousness we seek and the restlessness we display. But look at the relief we experience. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And there's the satisfaction here of the filling. They shall be filled. The word "filled" there is a word that just means to satisfy with food or to fatten. To fatten. And there's a promise here that the Lord will meet the need of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, we were designed at the beginning of creation to hold fellowship with our God. But sin has fractured that relationship that we have. There's something deep in the heart of man that calls out for renewing of that relationship. That is what we were made for. We are missing our experience of the blessings of God. But God can come and meet with us. And thank God, he says, we will be filled. There's the satisfaction of the filling. Notice also the source of the filling. Where will we find the deep need of our hearts met? Well, you remember one day, the Lord Jesus went into the synagogue in the city by the lake, by the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd gathered around him. And Jesus explained that he was the fulfillment of satisfaction in life, where it will be found. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then a few minutes later, just for emphasis, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Remember how the Lord sat one day outside the city of Sychar by a well, and the woman from Sychar came out to draw water, and he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but that water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Where is the source of our food? Where is the source of our spiritual drink? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And I'm glad today that if you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, there's a source of supply. It's to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we notice the satisfaction of the filling and the source of the filling. But then I want you to see the span of the filling. Because there's something else in this text that is very striking. Because when you look at the grammar of it, it literally says that the hungering ones, or those who continue to hunger, will be filled. Now, that's a very strange picture. It is really saying that if you continue to hunger, you'll be filled. Now, you might wonder how that can happen. How can somebody that is filled continue to be hungry? But you see, that is some of the indications that this is more than an earthly text that we're dealing with. This is a concept that's mysterious. One of those mysterious things in Scripture. It says that you are filled, but you continue to hunger and thirst. Now, a true child of God will know what we're talking about here. Those of you that are not saved will think I'm talking a lot of nonsense here. How can you be filled and continue to hunger? But the true child of God who has sought for righteousness, you know what I'm talking about. You see, when you seek for righteousness and you gain a step forward, you find that you're still hungry for more. Somebody has said that it's like the Christian life is like the high jumper. Every time you get over the bar is raised. And you know, a holy person who is walking with God is a person who sees even more deeply their sin and their unworthiness and their need of God. The more holy you become, the more righteous you become, the more you see your own unworthiness and your unrighteousness and your sin and your filthiness. And the more we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jim Elliot, the missionary who was murdered by the Oca Indians in Ecuador, wrote in his journal in 1948, and I quote, he says, "If I've gotten nothing else from this year's experience, he has given me a hunger for himself I have never experienced. He only promises water to the thirsty, satiation to the unsatisfied, I do not say dissatisfied, filling to those who are famished for righteousness. God and God alone can fill the hungry soul with the righteousness it craves. Those who seek him are unanimous in their testimony that he does." And Jim Elliot had grown to realize that the more he was filled, the more he hungered, the more he desired, the more then he was filled. But there was always the desire for more filling. Do you recognize that today? Is there that real desire that you might have more, a deeper experience, a more fulfilling walk with your God? We see the span of the filling, but also look at the solace of the filling. We think of how the Lord has said that we will be filled, and when the Lord Jesus comes again, or when we meet with him in glory, when we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, then ultimately we will be filled. Our need will be met. Thank God that one day all our inadequacies and inconsistencies and iniquities and sins, they will all be dealt with, and we'll sit down with the Lord and we'll be perfect. We're not perfect down here. But one day the Lord will take away all that defiles and make us perfect before him. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We come now to the communion, and we sit down at these symbols that speak of the filling of our hunger and the satisfying of our thirst by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness as we come to the Lord's table today? May God write his word upon our hearts. And especially those of you who are not saved, if you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. Let's just bow in a word of prayer.